Welcome to BBC Radio Berkshire. Now, my next guest, fascinating. You might recognise the voice. Don't be cross with me, Lisette, for saying this first, but you might. You know, the most relevant side of you to people right now is the fact that you were on telly. You were on our screens a couple of weeks ago with Grand Designs. It was your house in Henley that featured beautiful, beautiful home being built on the banks of the river.
Thank you.
You're here today not to talk about your... Are you sick about talking about your house?
Not exactly, but it's nice to talk about other things once in a while.
Beautiful house.
Thank you.
Like the curves.
I love the curves.
You were the curves. Did you put the curves in?
No, that was definitely a joint effort.
Was it?
Yeah.
Do you still love them?
Yeah.
Are there any bits? I was once a voice on Grand Designs, is that?
Really?
Yeah, when they did a build of a... It was some kind of barn in Berkshire years ago. Fuel strikes. That's how far we're going back. And I had to be the voice on the cabbie radio of the lorry that couldn't get to the build because of the fuel strikes. So there was me going, and I'm afraid fuel shortages in Berkshire continue to cause problems.
And they say TV's real.
Mm-mm. You must have learned that.
We do the same thing over and over a few times to get it right.
Anybody who watched South Today Challenge with me and Alexis Green, I'm saying the one I lost, I'm saying nothing. You are, as well as an extraordinary home builder and star of Grand Designs, you are a hypnotherapist.
Cognitive hypnotherapist.
Right. What's the difference? Is all hypnotherapy not to do with the cognitive function?
It certainly is. The subconscious function. But there are lots of different hypnotherapists who have been trained very differently. And I would like to differentiate myself from the vast majority.
So you're not a one of those, you know, hang your head.
I'm not a show person. Plenty of hypnotherapists and effective hypnotherapists are. And one of the two co-founders is very, very hilarious on stage and very effective. But I would prefer to treat the other person's unconscious mind with a lot more respect, really.
I appreciate this is a rodeo show, and I appreciate I'm asking you to be a bit layman when I say this, but how does it work? How do you get inside a part of my brain that I can't get into?
Well, I certainly wouldn't describe it as getting into your brain. I would say that right now there are four of us in the room. There's you and me, and then there's your unconscious mind and my unconscious mind. And your unconscious mind is the one running the show. You don't have to stop and consciously put one word in front of the other to make a sentence. You've just got somehow got a vague idea of what's going to happen, and then it just all comes out of your mouth, just like now.
If you talk about it too much, we're not going to be able to do it.
So it's a question of inviting the other person's unconscious mind once you've got rapport with their unconscious mind so that they trust you and they feel comfortable and they're open to having a conversation. It's a question of asking their unconscious mind to go look for a better solution on their own.
Can you work on anyone? There must be some people who are more open to that idea than others.
There's an idea that only some people can be hypnotised, and I think that's a load of tosh. Because we all go in and out of a natural state of unconscious, subconscious, a state of relaxed focus several times every day. When we're coming to in the morning, when we're waking up, when we're drifting off to sleep, when you find yourself gazing out of the window and you've not been listening to your teacher, all those times.
One of those drives where you can't remember the last 10 minutes through Pangbourne.
But thank goodness your unconscious mind is such a good driver.
Wow, that's scary, isn't it?
When
you think about it. Well, it is a bit. This notion of not having control is a tough one for most people
Do you really not have control when you're driving the car and then you can't remember the journey?
But I think there is a fear that when you're hypnotised, you're giving up.
Oh, well, then that would be because of all the shows, won't it? Because you'll be turned into a duck or a chicken or, you know...
Are you conscious or unconscious then when you're in a state of hypnotic?
You're conscious, but you're very deeply relaxed and very focused on something that's going on inside, either what the other person is saying to you or just your internal thoughts, which is what's happening when you're daydreaming.
Do you hold a stopwatch in front of people and wave it in front of their eyes? No?
Absolutely not.
I'm a little bit disappointed. How do you do it?
How do I do it? Which just by having a conversation.
I'm quite tempted to say, you couldn't do it now.
We are to an extent. We're both doing it to each other right now. We all influence everybody else around us all the time, whether you know it or not. The best thing that you can hope for is to influence the other person
positively,
in a constructive way.
Do you think some people do that naturally and others don't?
Absolutely. Salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's their job, isn't it, to put people at ease? They're doing that consciously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why not do that with a good therapeutic effect?
So what sort of areas do you apply this?
What sort of problems?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't believe just such a vast array. just about everything, really, because everything all comes from the brain. I believe that the results that you get in life are purely dependent on what you do. What you do. So if somebody comes to me with a problem, then it's because they are doing life in a particular way. And all we have to do is change the way that they're doing that particular thing. And they will inevitably get a different outcome.
I'm a big, big fan of Twitter. And I follow the guy who jumped off the balloon, you know, 23 miles above the earth the other week.
Oh, yes, yes,
Felix Baumgarten.
Yeah.
He tweeted this afternoon, and you'll like this, the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude.
Yeah, well, of course we're
and
all
that's
gonna,
kind of what you're saying.
We're all going to die one day, and it's not going to matter. So why not?
Live.
Why not live in the meantime?
Live. Fascinating guest in the studio with me. Lizette starred in Grand Designs a few weeks ago, which is why you might recognise the voice, but that's not why you're here today, although it is a beautiful home. Is it finished, by the way?
Nearly.
How many years?
Years. Oh no, it didn't take years to build.
Didn't it?
No.
Just from start to finish, it must have done, from planning.
No. Oh, from planning. Oh, yeah, it's been going on for years.
Yeah.
Years and years.
So what have you still got, sort of put the washers on the taps?
Right,
sort of
at the moment. Well, we're living there now, so everything works. Right now we've got the stair people back, just putting the finishing touches onto the stairs. And we've got the automation people there who are connecting up the lights and the heating and the blinds and all the automation, the music, so that we can operate that from wherever we are.
How important, when you're doing your hypnotherapy work, is it to have the ambience around you right?
Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to concentrate on something when there's a lot of distractions. It's not the easiest thing.
Or cold, or, you know, anything can take your mind off it,
exactly.
Can't it?
Yes, exactly. So I think that having a peaceful and quiet environment really contributes to someone being able to just relax and just let go of whatever they've come in with and just pay attention to the work that we're doing.
All the work you do is about changing the way you do stuff so that your life functions in a better way, whether that's using hypnotherapy or, in the case of exams, it's not actually hypnotherapy. You don't use that as a technique. How are you getting these results? And I've read your stats. How are you getting the results for people then?
Well, I mentioned that, you know, the best thing to do is, if what you're doing is getting you a particular result that you don't want, then do something else and you will inevitably get a different result. And it's the same with revising and retaining information. Human beings are hardwired to forget. From an evolutionary point of view, we're physiologically the same as we were 10,000 years ago when we lived in caves. And back then, it was essential that we forgot where the herd of deer was seen 3 weeks ago, but we remembered where they were seen yesterday afternoon. The more recent information, therefore, likely to be more useful to our survival.
Relevant, yeah.
But we're the same now. Our circumstances have changed, but the automatic unconscious part of the mind automatically lets go of older information in favour of newer information.
So the cramming's good.
Well,
I knew it wouldn't be that simple.
If it's a question of ticking a box and passing an exam, then by all means, you know, cram it all in 10 minutes before you go into the exam, and you won't have forgotten it yet. But you will have forgotten most of it within 24 hours. So it's going to be no good to you in the next exam, or indeed if it's professional exams and you're using the information for clients, you won't have it anymore. It'll be gone. So there are certain things that you need to do to compensate for the natural tendency for people to forget stuff.
Can you rewire your brain not to forget?
Not exactly. You can certainly use hypnotherapy to help along those lines for your unconscious mind to get what's important to remember. Because you'll recall yourself incidents that have happened that have had a high emotional charge, and boom, you can remember the details. You can remember everything about that particular event. But that's because the unconscious mind has got it that's an important event to remember. It was significant in some way.
It's often funny when you go back to your childhood memories and you look at what you remember and then you ask the next question, why did I remember that? Some of them, one of my earliest memories is riding a tricycle in front of my house. And I've often thought, why on earth would I remember that? But I remember why I remember it now.
Yeah.
My sister tried to take it off me and she didn't get it. She didn't get it first time ever, I think, probably.
Yeah. But it's interesting that you remember why you remember it. Most of that's going on unconsciously. So we do stuff, we remember stuff, we feel a certain way about things, and we don't always know why. So very often people come to me complaining about something they're doing. They don't know why they're doing it.
If I'm honest, and I think I would speak for plenty of people when I say this, there is something intimidating about the unconscious mind. All of us are, and it doesn't matter if you've had the happiest life in the world, as I would say I have done, I still think there's probably stuff going on in there that I don't want to know about.
Oh, but we're also very good at forgetting stuff that we really don't need to know about. You know, a lot of therapy in the past has been talking therapies where you the premise is that you have to re-experience the trauma in order to let it go. And, oh, goodness me, I can't think of anything worse. Sometimes your brain is so clever, it's allowed you to forget stuff that's not serving you. It's better left where it is. And you can have a better life by dealing with other stuff and other behaviour rather than trawling through that.
But if you go in there...
Yep.
And that trauma's in there.
Yeah.
Is there a chance you can accidentally unlock the trauma at the same time as a positive memory?
It's interesting how you talk about going in there. But of course, if we're having a conversation about a particular event, then you're the one going in there, of course, not me. But having said that, we do things. It's brief therapy. It's called brief therapy for a reason. We don't need to trawl through all the uncomfortable stuff. In fact, I don't need to go there at all. I just need to know what you want to change. And then I can help you to have a conversation with your unconscious mind, to invite your unconscious mind to find a better strategy, a better way of coping, to find... You see, I reckon that all our behaviour, everything about us, has a positive intention behind it. May not look like it from the outside.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that there's nobody, even the worst people in the world, don't think they're doing...
There's something they're trying to achieve for themselves, or possibly for somebody else, but usually for ourselves. So if you can help the unconscious mind to find a different way of achieving that... that's better for you and better for everybody else, it's safe for you, then of course the old unwanted behaviour can of course drop away.
Lizette Offley, hypnotherapist from Lower Shiplake, is in the studio with me. If you've just joined us, if you're a post-school run joiner, well, we've been talking about how hypnotherapy can help and how it works and what the role the subconscious mind plays in all of our lives. How did you get into this? How did you train? How did you start?
Well, I guess I was always interested in psychology and what makes people tick. And I taught for 20 years. And during that time, while I had a lot of responsibility in the school for music specifically, I was still interested in helping children when they came to me with a problem about somebody in the class or something that's going on at home. Now, we have channels set up, of course, at school to pass children on to if they need it. But very often it was just a moan about something. And one of them, there are lots of rewarding things about teaching. One of the things that sticks in my mind, because it was so emotionally charged, I guess, is at the end of a day, all the children put the chairs on top of the desks to help the cleaners out. And one child at the back of the room that I'd had a conversation with earlier that day just mouthed to me, "Thank you," across the room. And I just thought that's very rare for a child to do that. And I just thought, I felt all warm and fluffy inside. And I just thought, you know, she really appreciates that, and hopefully that will have made a big difference. So that's probably how I got into what makes people tick. And I've done loads of different training. We keep mentioning hypnotherapy. It's cognitive hypnotherapy, which includes a whole array of brief therapies, including NLP, and in particular, New Code NLP.
Now, this is this neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah. And CBT...
Put that in English for us.
All of it. It doesn't matter what you call it. All of it is slightly different approaches, but there's a common theme to it, and that is talking and being effective with the unconscious mind. So anybody can sit you down, hold your hand, give you a cup of tea, say, there, you need to dump him, love. You know, those are the sorts of conversations we normally have. And love rarely dumps him, actually, in those circumstances. Just wants a moan and then carries on doing the same thing over and over again. The difference with brief therapy is, first of all, it's brief. It's not a talking therapy that lasts for months and even years. I don't even want to know really what's going on. I just need to know what the client wants to change. And then there are exercises you can do, and what we call interventions, where it's just using your imagination, and that just changes your perspective.
Well, let's take a relationship. Let's take a relationship that's suffering, and... the person comes to you, the chances are they don't know what they want to change, do they? Isn't that the whole point? Isn't that the problem? And isn't that often the way with so many?
I think
it's not as straightforward as saying, I want to give up smoking, is what I mean.
Yeah, it can be.
Can it?
Yeah, it can be. It can be, you know, I'm in another relationship and it was like the last one, and the one before that, and the one before that. I don't know where I'm going wrong. You know, why is everybody doing this? Why do I never that? And to my mind, it's something that you're doing is getting you the same result over and over. Let's have a look at what you're doing and let's put some strategies in place, conscious ones. That's the CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And let's work with your unconscious mind now, doing some exercises to allow your unconscious mind to see things, see patterns, see a way of doing things that it hasn't considered before. And then let your unconscious mind make that choice. People often leave me feeling much better. And they come back the week after saying, you'll never guess what happened this week. And of course, I can't actually guess what's going to happen because neither of us knows what their unconscious mind is going to have them do. There was a lovely time when I was running a weight loss workshop. So there's several people in the room and we were doing exercises together. So there's no way that I could be specific to each one of those people. I had to leave their unconscious mind to make their own decisions. And the week after, someone came back and said, well, you never guess what I've done this week. And she said, I've been meaning for a while to try out some of these fruit teas. So I bought myself a couple of variety boxes and there was this one and that one. And I particularly liked this one. And I was playing with them all week and enjoying them. And I suddenly realised by the end of the week, I haven't eaten any chocolate. And it was chocolate that she was thinking was part of her big problem for the weight loss, for the weight that she was trying to achieve. So all by itself, her unconscious mind had her do something which changed her behaviour and changed the outcome. And neither of us had to double guess what that was going to be. If I suggested to the next person, I know what you need. If you're eating too much chocolate, go try some fruit teas. It would be completely irrelevant to them.
So how did you do that? How do you convince a room full of subconscious minds that they should change their behaviour so that you can lose 2 pounds that week?
Well, of course, for a start, the should word comes straight out of there. But I bet with your children, you've sometimes told them exactly what to do, and sometimes you've invited them to go and find a solution for themselves.
Yes.
That's more what we're talking about. Your unconscious mind is making decisions on your behalf all the time, and you're not aware that it's happening. And it's doing that to try and keep you safe, and try and keep you alive, try and make sense of the world. So if you ask it to go and look in a corner it hasn't looked before, look at things in a new way and go and find a better solution, it inevitably will do that for you. And if it is a better solution, it will inevitably choose that as a way forward.
Do you think some people's subconscious minds find other subconscious minds easier to talk to than others?
Oh, God. What did you just say?
You know how some people walk into a room and just like someone immediately and you can't explain it? Mm-hmm. Or similarly, you can walk into a room and perhaps more powerfully dislike someone immediately.
That's rapport, isn't it?
Is that not subconscious mind?
Absolutely. And you can walk into a room and detect an atmosphere. Boy, do you know something's been going on in here? But we don't know about that consciously, but it's going on unconsciously. That's what I mean by your unconscious mind being so very much more powerful than your conscious mind. That's why your unconscious mind is leading the way and is running the show. So
I what I like the idea of, this is in my little world, is that here I am sitting with you and our subconscious minds are in fact having a whole different conversation.
Quite possibly.
Do you think that is quite possible?
Quite possibly, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to learn a bit more about this, because it can help so many people in so many different ways, whether it is giving up smoking, losing weight,
emotional
helping with a relationship.
Stuff, behavioural stuff, even difficult medical conditions. I've helped people get over nasty things like ME and anorexia. It's quite amazing what's possible.
Well, where do you find the information about it?
Would you find out how to come to me?
Mm.
My website, soundspositive.com, musical sounds, soundspositive.com.
And I presume hypnotherapy is something that has to be licensed, monitored? I mean, if you're not in your area, you don't want to just go on Google and...
One interesting thing is that because there are so many different sorts of hypnotherapy and some more effective and more honourable, I feel, than others, that my professional body is trying to raise the standards so that everybody will have to be the same standard at least as the one that we're setting.
So what professional body should you look out for with hypnotherapists?
You have to look at my website, the NCH, for example. Have a look at my website and you'll see what's there and get the details from the website.
Lisette, thank you for coming in. Enjoy the house. I bet that kind of house, this is the house, Lisette's house was on Grand Designs. I bet it's a completely different place in the winter to the summer. One of those sort of homes.
The lovely thing is, of course, that there's such access to the outside through the large windows. And so it's changing all the time. Everything outside is very yellow and orange and red at the moment.
And a bit foggy.
In the morning's a bit foggy.
A little bit
damp. Beautiful too. We've got some beautiful scenes to look at.
Yeah, the leaves are coming down at the moment.
Faster than we can sweep them up.
Aren't they? But just beautiful. I drove along from Pangbourne, really, down to Goring, along that lower Basildon stretch of the River Thames this morning, and it was just beautiful. Lisette, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for coming in to talk to us.